Hello and welcome in to another Abundance of Not.
Gary, another here. Wonderful episode.
Another fantastic episode of an Abundance of Not.
Oh,
clearly,
yeah.
Wade and Brad are joining me.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Fabulous September the 17th.
Spectacular.
Wade's Friday.
And?
The 40th anniversary of the Transformers animated series debut.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
Yeah. Forgot about that until right this very second. So, and a shout out. Tell you Transformers fans, rejoice.
And thank you, Hasbro.
Thank you, Hasbro. How you guys doing?
Absolutely superb. How about yourself?
I am doing quite well, actually.
Doing good. Absolutely okay.
I am positively, absolutely right. Mediocre.
Apparently, this is the excessive superlatives episode.
Well, it could be entertaining to attempt.
Which is all right, I suppose.
Clearly, Wade's going to be the downer of tonight's episode. So, hey, you know. We need some.
It was an absolute intense, spectacular failure.
Yep.
Build me up, tear me down.
That's right.
So, how was speaking of ups and downs, how was your weekend?
Not too bad. Did some work around the house, got some trash cleaned out of the garage. You know, knocked some stuff off the honey-do list.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
One down, 50 to go.
That's just list one.
That's right.
Please see.
Nah, the list isn't actually that big. It's just, you know, I got to get to it.
Honey, yeah,
when you're only home 2 days a week, it makes it tough.
Honey, I broke this, make things interesting. This and this. Please fix.
Yes. Please
me
prioritize
the kids are
going
to go to the
list.
Movies.
How was your guys' weekend?
Mine was quite intense and kind of started on Thursday night. With a Linkin Park concert, which was awesome.
Cool.
Jared Leto's band, which is 30 Seconds to Mars, who I've never really listened to, opened, and he is very engaging with the crowd, although a friend of mine got to go backstage and said that he is quite the narcissist.
Okay.
A little full of himself, as one would expect, a rock star slash actor. Friday, Grace and I tested in our Taekwondo class and ascended in belt color, so we are now belt 3 out of roughly 10 after being in for a mere couple of months.
So which is awesome. What color?
Yellow belt now. So it goes
yellow.
White, orange, yellow, camo, green, blue, purple? No, purple, blue, brown, red, black.
I like those.
Alrighty.
All like solid that. Colors, except for just like
yeah, let's throw a camo.
What?
So yeah. Obviously, that was added by the American Taekwondo Association.
That's right.
You couldn't
not
find
the,
like red?
Not the Korean Taekwondo Association.
Yeah, yeah. That was
red's
not
later.
An original color.
Correct.
Green? Come on.
Green's in there too. It was camo, then green.
Which one isn't? There's got to be something that isn't. You just make a solid damn color.
Make it purple.
Teal. Purple's in there.
No.
I guess they needed a 10th belt color and they figured what the
blue?
Hell. You start with white.
Is there a blue?
Yes.
I'm going to stop now.
God dang it. I'm going to stop.
You're done.
Spectacularly failing.
That's right.
Keeping the underlying subject going.
There you go. Saturday, I went to take care of Wade's truck and spent about 8 hours doing that. I had to drive about an hour to get to the shop. No one was there for a couple hours, so I ran a few errands in the process. Finally get over there, idiot. I've never met somebody who is so careless and or carefree or just not affected by, you know, being called out on his shortcomings or his inability to get his job done, even
issues.
After we've sued him. He just walked up like it was another day and just nonchalantly taking care, you know, I say taking care of business, which was not. So after renting a U-Haul and trying to acquire as many of the parts that we could from this guy after giving him one truck with two engines and two carburetors and all sorts of whatever, and getting it down to a more legitimate shop. So that was chaotic. Not to mention it's east of us and quite hot. And it was about 104 degrees here. Yeah, it was more out in the desert. But, I mean, it was 104 degrees here where we're at. Not to mention the increase going east. So Saturday kind of sucked. I mean, it got it taken care of, sort of. It's a step in the right direction. And then Sunday, went and saw Dolphin Tale 2. Wade did not partake due to timing. Mm-hmm. And then we went down to some friend's house in San Clemente for a nice salmon dinner. So that was awesome.
Cool.
Barbecued salmon. Yeah.
Mmm. I could taste it now.
Well, again, pretty much.
Again. No, I didn't just throw up in my mouth. It's fine.
Good, good, good.
Wade, what about you?
Well, I think you know, but yeah, I was... Didn't do anything, but this time I did have a reason. I was not feeling too well. So I kind of spent my weekend shambling all over the place.
Yeah, that's a pretty good term. I mean, I was off on Friday following the concert Thursday night because I figured I don't want to go to work. And Wade was very kind of...
Unenergetic.
Cathartic? Something like that.
I try to take a
lethargic?
Nap.
Lethargic?
Lethargic? Sure, yeah. That word.
Slow.
I'm just making up words now. I don't care.
Unmotivated?
Unmotivated, lack of energy, just kind of sure. A zombie. Yeah.
I go and try
sometimes
to take a nap.
Sometimes those days are good.
I try to go take a nap, and he comes into the room like, what are you doing? You haven't done anything all day. I'm like, do you not
realize? I just thought he was being a lazy sack all day.
Does that realize that the tissues or Kleenex have been, like, glued to my side? I've been sneezing and coughing all day.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that.
It's like, you ass.
And besides, it's his weekend. What if he was just doing nothing?
Well, I mean, that's all fine and good, but certain things still need to be taken care of. So, you know, someone's got to get on his case once in a while.
Uh-huh.
To which I sneeze on him and...
I look for excuses to be sick. I'm maxed out at sick time at work, and I could really use, you know, like 3 days off to do nothing.
Yeah, but you don't want to be sick to do it.
Nah. It's a price I'm willing to pay. Well, with that, let's jump into some movies, shall we? So we got a few movies to talk about here. Some new releases, some releases or movies that were released overseas that are now being released here. The first of which, collectively, is a movie called The Maze Runner. It's got a 64% critic rating, a budget of $30 million. This has currently pulled in $8.3 million in Malaysia and Singapore. I'm not sure when it was. I think it was just released last week, so not too long in the box office there. Synopsis is a teenager is dropped into an area called the Glade, which is the center of a giant maze, inside of which live vicious creatures called Grievers. Kind of sounds like the Serenity Firefly.
Mm-hmm. Reavers.
Reavers. The Glade is inhabited by other teenage boys, all of whom have no memory of their previous life, and who, as a group, are working to engineer an escape. Periodically, the doors of the maze open, allowing the boys to go into it. However, they also close without warning, and no boy who has ventured inside has ever survived a night in the maze. But everything begins to change when the latest arrival turns out to be a girl, Teresa, whose thoughts, Thomas is our main character, can read. Together, they form a special bond. Obviously, he can read her mind. And along with the other boys, they launch a desperate bid for freedom. And in a different synopsis, I also read that along the path of this maze, they start picking up pieces of their memory, so to speak. Their memory starts coming back to them on their life prior to getting dropped into the maze. Visually, looks really interesting, but from an actor's standpoint, it's all no names from what I can tell. But that may be something I go see this weekend. I'm not sure yet.
Not really, Mike. Doesn't look like something I'm too interested in.
Yeah, any movie based on a book, apparently Wade just says is a Twilight knockoff and automatically writes it off.
No, so, I could give you so many reasons why several of the movies that have come out recently are almost clones of Twilight.
Have you watched any of those movies?
Yes.
Which?
Beautiful Creatures. Was it Warm Bodies?
Yeah, but they're not clones of Twilight because they're all based on books.
They still share the same basics of Twilight.
So you're saying any TV show that's got an alien is a clone of Star Trek?
No.
That's kind of what you're saying with your statement. You're
making a, okay, but if the storyline follows, I can see how it would be.
You know? Yes and no.
Not just, you know, a character that is similar to a character in Twilight, but if the storyline is roughly following, then...
Yeah, I just... Wade will refuse to watch certain movies because in his mind it's a Twilight copycat. I'm not actually giving the movie a chance.
I'm not saying Maze Runner is a Twilight
knockoff. I didn't say Maze Runner. I'm just saying some movies in general.
Well, I just said, oh, it's not my cup of tea. And you're like, oh, it's a Twilight knockoff. You're saying it's a Twilight knockoff.
Yep. It's like, no, wait, wasn't. This is getting fun.
You're a horrifying liar.
Agreed.
It's amazing what he will do for ratings.
That's right. Everything is on the table here.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Also coming out this week is A Walk Among the Tombstones. This is a Liam Neeson movie. The budget has not been posted, and the critics have not rated this yet. Synopsis is that a former NYPD cop and now private investigator Matthew Shutter, who is Liam Neeson, is hired by a drug dealer to find his kidnapped wife in New York City. Along the way, he finds that this is the first kidnapping and the subsequent killing by the abductors. He must find them before they kill again. So that looks, I don't know, that kind of sounds like a lot of his movies lately have been like mirrors of Taken. And Taken was a good movie, but then there was Taken 2, and then there was this, and I don't know, it seems like he's,
you know,
kind of getting into a role.
Taken 2 was just a Taken knockoff.
I know, right? Even the name is ridiculous. The boldness.
Even the name, the same, you know, same characters.
Same name.
The first Taken, like, relaunched his career? Because I didn't really know about him until, like, Taken.
Well,
like,
he did Qui-Gon in the Star Wars. I said Star Trek. Oops. Ooh, Star Wars Episode 1.
He was in The Haunting.
He was Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins.
Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins.
Well, that was after Taken.
I don't think that was after Taken. He was the voice of Aslan in the Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe movies, Chronicles of Narnia movies. He was the voice of Good Cop, Bad Cop in Lego Movie.
No, it just seems to me that his career kind of relaunched like after Taken. Like,
I don't know about that. I just don't know if his movies are typically something that you're into.
So
you're not necessarily aware of what he's doing.
I know it was in The Haunting? One of the two.
No idea. Is that the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones in the giant house?
Yeah.
Was he in that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, he's the professor researcher.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just he doesn't usually cross paths with the movies that you like to watch.
That's what I'm thinking, because he's been pretty busy.
I'd like that movie, though. So.
I mean, I think he had a little bit of a hiatus when didn't his wife die or have a really bad injury on, like, a ski slope?
That may have been the reason.
Yeah, I think she ended up dying.
I think she did, too. She fell, which was seemingly, and it was, like, no big deal, and then, like, 2 days later, she died from, like, head injuries or something crazy.
That may have been the reason right there, is that I didn't see him, because I only saw him at The Haunted. I think that's the movie name. Don't quote me on that. Then probably went on a hiatus.
Maybe.
And then came back with...
I think you're right. I think Taken was his first one after that.
After the issue.
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, but I think he did the Narnia movies, and that was before or during, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't... I don't have the database timeline in front of me to validate. Also coming out this week is a movie called This Is Where I Leave You. This is rated at 53%. Budget is not posted. This is primarily starring Jason Bateman and Tina Fey, amongst many others. Timothy Oliphant is in this. Just a pretty solid cast. Synopsis is as follows. Four combative siblings of the Altman family, which that name was changed from the book that this is based on. Those siblings were played by Bateman, Faye, Adam Driver, and Stoll. I'm not sure what his first name was. I didn't write it down. But the children reunite in their childhood home after their father dies. They're all grounded for a week of Shiva, which is a Hebrew term regarding a week-long mourning period in Judaism. Troubled issues arise when past relationships and friendships present themselves into a twisted family mourning their father. Some of the topics in this is that Jason Bateman's character finds out that his wife is having an affair, and so I think he's having to deal with some of that, and then the family issues, and then, you know, old flings are kind of, they're going back to their hometown, so they're seeing old flings or old friendships and stuff like that. But critics didn't necessarily love this, but if you're probably a Saturday Night Live fan with, you know, big fan of Tina Fey and whatnot, I'm a fan of Jason Bateman, but I'm not sure if this one's really one that would normally be on my list. Also coming out this week, we got this and one more, is a movie called Tracks. This is rated at 54%, a budget of $12 million. It's currently, I hope I wrote this down right, but it's currently brought in $12 million in the Australian market. This is starring Mia Wasikowska, which is the girl who played Alice in Alice in Wonderland. True story, based on a woman named Robin Davidson, who travels from Alice Springs in Australia across the 2,700-kilometer desert to the Indian Ocean with her dog and four camels. From what I read in another synopsis, the camels are kind of unpredictable or unruly. They're not necessarily hers, but they end up being traveling companions. Sure. Her trip is then followed by a National Geographic photographer, Rick Smolin, who ends up documenting her journey. So maybe Brad will see some old memories on film.
Yeah, no, way too far north for me.
Is it?
Yep.
Are you familiar where Alice Springs is located?
Yes, I am. It's okay. In the Northern Territory, which is a completely different state than yep. I'm from.
Okay.
But to make it to the Indian Ocean, she would have to cross into Western Australia, but way, way, way north.
Gotcha.
Like, the equivalent would be, I'm from Los Angeles or Orange County, that area. She's going to cross the state somewhere around Portland.
Yeah. As if California went all the way up the west coast of...
Correct, all the way up to Washington. Like Portland, yep.
So, not really a factor. Finally is a movie called The Guest, and I actually don't have the synopsis on here, but, it's got a 90% critic rating. I think the primary actor is from the show Downton Abbey, which is popular on Netflix and whatnot. But I don't have the synopsis in front of me, unfortunately. I missed that one when doing my notes this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Shame on me. In the box office, we have No Good Deed takes top at $24.5 million. Its budget, which was previously unposted, was at $13.2 million. So it's doubled its budget in the first week in revenue. Dolphin Tale 2 came in second at $16.5 against its $36 million budget, which was not previously posted. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy in third at $8 million, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in fourth at $4.8. And the honorable mention this week is The Drop. That's the Tom Hartman movie at $4.2 million. So I did mention I did see Dolphin Tale this weekend. If you enjoyed the first one, you'll like the second one. I mean, it's got some tugs on the heartstrings, as you would expect. It's very cute and a lot of focus on the animal life and whatnot. There's a big issue at one point of having a dolphin. And should they keep it at the aquarium / rehab center, or because it fully healed, do they release it? There's a few different people in the movie who have a few different opinions on the matter. So, again, if you like Dolphin Tale 1 and kind of the story that was told, definitely check out Dolphin Tale 2.
So, read here, Sappy Animal Story.
Yes.
Awesome.
But a good Sappy Animal Story.
Okay.
Yes. All right. And way to go, Wade. Way to move us along. To the news.
It is news time.
Woo-hoo!
Our favorite time.
Woohoo!
So, in the news this week, big news this week in the world of technology, Apple finally releases their next version of the iPhone operating system, iOS 8. It launched today, actually, as we're recording this. My phone is updating. So, we are now on iOS 8, like I said, released today, this morning Pacific time. All the details have been pretty much released and being covered. This was, you know, part of what they were talking about last week at their conference. However, the big surprise that came out today is moments before launch, a bug was discovered in their health application, the HealthKit development platform. So Apple made the decision to go ahead and release iOS 8 anyway and hold back all the health apps and HealthKit apps that have been submitted to the App Store. So they are being held back, and no firm word on when this is going to be resolved yet, but rough estimates put it at towards the end of the month.
So they think that'll be all up to date by the end of the month, not affecting anybody who's pre-ordering a phone or anything like that. They're not going to get the iOS 6 and have an issue, is your assessment?
Correct. Okay. So iOS 8 is rolling out today. They haven't held that back. All they're doing is not allowing the apps that use this function to be published to the App Store. So if you have upgraded your phone software or you're thinking to, go ahead and do it. It's no problem. Everybody that has pre-ordered iPhone 6s will still get them. They're not going to hold any shipments up or anything like that. It's just none of the apps that are designed to use this health infrastructure will be allowed in the App Store until they push another update later in the month.
Gotcha. And I think I misspoke. I think I said iOS 6 when I meant iPhone 6. So my mistake yes. there. Interesting. Well, speaking of the iPhone 6, pre-orders, record-breaking.
Pre-orders have been amazing.
iPhone 6 units on back order because of the influx. I mean, we know that they were ramping up production to meet the demand that was coming out, as we saw with articles leading up to last week's discussion in the release statement. But so many...
Obviously not enough.
Yeah, so many of you diehard Apple fanboys have to have your phones that...
Who? Where?
I don't know. You?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, is great for Apple, obviously. No one
Absolutely.
Should see this as a negative thing. It means business is good. It means Apple's not going anywhere. It's kind of a sign of the economy that people feel that whether they're due for an upgrade for their phone or they have the money to spend, that they're spending it. There's a lot of different things you can look at into this.
Which I find interesting, considering after Apple made their announcements at the keynote conference, Apple's stock took a little bit of a hit because, you know, Wall Street analysts weren't happy with what they've announced, and they didn't think it was enough, and, you know, they were doing their usual, you know, billions and billions of dollars is not enough money, make more.
Yeah, right.
But evidently the consumers turned out in force and went, hey, we like it.
Yep. And it sounds like a fair amount of people who switched to Samsung or other non-Apple products due to size are returning back to their roots because they're getting the phone that they like and the size that they want. So that's, again, good for Apple. There's been a lot of statements out there regarding the new iPhone 6 and its size looking a lot like an old Samsung Note that was released in 2012. So Samsung's got some commercials out there that take advantage of some of those statements, but I haven't really dove into some of those in depth to really understand what the criteria it was based on.
Sure. And I do know of people that are doing exactly what you said. They shifted to Android because of the size screen that they desired, but they missed the you know, fit and finish of iPhones. So sure. Now that the iPhones come in the size they want, they're switching back. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the coming quarters and watch the market share between Apple and the various Android distributors, Samsung specifically, and see how the map reshapes itself, if it does at sure. all.
Do we have a physical release date on the iPhone products? When will they be in people's hands?
Yes, this Friday.
It is this Friday. Okay.
It is this Friday. Yep. Pre-order started last Friday. iOS rolls out today, Wednesday.
Okay.
Or yesterday, as our listeners are hearing this. And then Friday the, what would that be, the 19th?
Yes.
Yep. Friday the 19th, they will start shipping.
Okay. And I know Samsung's next Note, which is, I believe is the Note 4, which is their 5.5-inch screen phone, I think is releasing October 6th. Which is a Monday. So maybe it's not the 6th, but it's early October. So yeah, like you said, regards to the different companies, it'll be interesting to see how the business looks.
Yep.
Another little side note for Apple that wasn't in their press conference last week, they quietly discontinued the iPod Classic. Anyone surprised? Anyone shocked? Anyone care? No? Okay.
Not so much care. Can't say I'm really shocked. I know there will be people that are, you know, upset by it. The iPod Classic was the last of the large storage iPods. You know, these were the ones that had actual hard drives and stuff in them okay. that you came in capacities of, you know, 160 and 300 gig.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they were the big ones.
They were the big ones, you know, that you could store your entire library on.
And it's interesting they would discontinue that. I mean, I guess it kind of says to the people that, you know, we like having our music close, but we don't need that much of it. I mean, if people aren't buying 100 gig, 300 gig iPods, the iPod Touch or the iTouch or whatever it's called is working for people, then, yeah, why keep a product around that no one's buying?
Yeah, I mean, there's some – I do this is that – how many songs do you actually listen to on your phone, sure. on your thing?
I mean, I've got 1,000. I've got 1,000 songs on mine, and that's just because if I want to throw it on shuffle, I don't want to hear the same songs every day. But then there's times where I'll have the same 5 albums on a constant loop and, you know, won't change it for weeks on end. So,
I think the play, though, is, you know, they discontinued the Classic. They announced that the 6 Plus will come in a 128 gig size. So if you still need storage, you can get an iPhone 6 Plus and yep. still get a fairly decent amount of storage. But I think this is a cloud play. You know, why okay. have all this storage and all these songs on your device? I'm not saying I necessarily agree with the strategy. I'm just, this is my theory on it. You know, we are in a near constant connected society now, so why have all this on your device when you can just keep it in iCloud, you know, music in the iCloud, and just play it when you want to, or the subscription services?
Because I don't
in which case you don't own any of it.
I don't want to use my data to listen to songs I already own. That's my one and only counter argument that. You know, 10 gigs that we talked about this last week, that
sure.
a gig of data doesn't get you nearly as much as we think that it does. And 10 gigs over 4 phones can go by really quick. And if you're
okay, but
if you're cloud listening to your music and you don't have Sprint, you're kind of up a creek when it comes to data usage.
But the counter to that is the subscription services, you know, for $10 a month, allow you to download their music to your phone while you have Wi-Fi and listen offline.
Sure.
You know, so you still get to save it to your phone if you wanted to, you know, without using your data to stream it.
Sure. Fair enough. That's a lot of Apple news.
Yep. All right. Well, back to something that may help or not help you considering the terms of interconnectivity with your devices. There may be a problem with your printer. There may be vulnerabilities in there with that. Michael Jordan, no, not the former basketball player, movie star from Space Jam.
Woohoo!
Would
you consider a one movie like that as a movie star?
Well, movie...
Yes.
Lead, okay. Lead in Space Jam.
Brad whatever. Says yes, that constitutes, so I'm okay. Fine with it.
Thank you.
But the head of research at the cybersecurity firm Context Information Security managed to replace the printer information screen with Hellbeasts and Catacombs. No, he didn't open a portal to hell with a printer. He managed to hack the device and install the 1993 FPS classic Doom. Jordan didn't do this just for fun. It was merely to show a vulnerability in the computer system.
So does printers, it say which printers are affected?
Well, I think it's more of a networking situation and not so much the printer itself. Right?
With multiple things that are connected with your Wi-Fi, including your printer, if a hacker can get in to your printer, which is then connected with your Wi-Fi to your computer.
Okay.
Voila.
Sure. It's a foothold.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess unless they're cabling into your printer, they'd still have to connect to the printer wirelessly. So, interesting. And I guess it shows you how much intelligence is in the printers now if you can load in. Granted, it's a 93 game, so it's not like it's super intensive, but...
Yeah, but have either of you played Doom?
It's been 20 years.
10, 15 years. It was awesome.
It was, when it came out, it was great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Canon, no argument there.
Canon, one of my first-person shooters.
Yep.
One of the original, I have to say. Let's see. Canon, the image company, they do cameras and obviously printing, has come out and said they are working to fix this problem. So it's apparently big enough vulnerability for a company such as Canon to be worried.
Or at least to provide their customers with some peace of mind.
Yeah.
Well, and it highlights, like you were saying, the level of complexity now. You know, these are connected, interconnected devices, printers, webcams, smart thermostats, etc. They're all miniature computers.
Yeah.
And as the level of complexity rises, the ability with which we can secure them decreases. You know, it becomes harder and harder to properly secure them.
Now, the most secure computer in the world is one that's not plugged to the internet.
It's one that's not plugged to the internet and that a human never uses.
Safest computer ever.
One of the things they teach you when you're doing security studies and stuff like that is, typically the weakest link in computer security is the user.
Is the human at the keyboard.
Yep.
Fair enough. I guess keep an eye on your printers if you want a free copy of Doom then. Is that the moral
lesson? Why is
coming soon to a printer screen near you?
Why is my printer playing Doom? What's going on
here? So does it print out each frame on the piece of paper and then you get a flip book? Or?
On the printer information screen, he was able to play Doom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's awesome.
That's pretty gnarly.
So he was able to get into the printer files, which is kind of crazy considering, how far we're going with how much power even a printer has now.
Yeah. Screenshots require paper.
Yep, agreed. Well, let's get to our favorite automotive manufacturer. This would be Tesla and our buddy Elon Musk. A few different topics to address here with Tesla as the primary focus. First of all, we've talked a lot lately about its stock prices. An analyst looked at the company, assessed it, and felt that it was going to grow to a certain point over subsequent years. Well, it seems like the stock market and the stockholders have gone a little too far. And even Elon has come out and said that this is a little bit nuts. Well, he's not the only one. Morgan Stanley declared that the frenzy was a bit ridiculous. Since the end of 2012, which is, I'm guessing, when Tesla went public, the stocks went for about $33 a share. I believe this is last week, it was up to $290 a share, which is only a mere increase of 745% over a year and a half period of time.
I'm no stockbroker, but damn.
Right?
Well, that's awesome for everybody that's holding Tesla stocks. Thank you very much.
Are you?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't trade stocks directly. Obviously, my retirement has managed funds. I'm thinking I do invest in tech funds for retirement, so I'm guessing Tesla's probably in there somewhere, but
it seems like it's a fairly sure bet, and there's why.
Yeah.
Yep. Morgan Stanley does believe that the stock will eventually get to 320s a share, but they feel that probably won't happen until about 2017, I believe. Let's see. Analysts suggest to not hang on every word that people say and to try to take a minute to digest the information before, you know, making rash decisions. Musk said earlier this month, I think our stock price is kind of high right now, to be totally honest. Investors, however, are mostly convinced that Tesla and essentially Elon Musk can do no wrong. And we'll see how effective a mere statement from Morgan Stanley really can be. On additional Tesla news, it is confirmed not only that Tesla is bringing their 5 billion B-word.
Another shot.
Another
B-word,
shot.
B-word, shots.
Shot time to Nevada. But they're getting a huge incentive to do so in the amount of an estimated $1.3 billion worth of tax breaks and other incentives. Tesla's building their lithium-ion battery, which is going to be 20 miles east of Reno. I wrote Rendo, but it's supposed to be Reno. I got Redondo on my head for some reason. I don't know. That's a up north.
You are redonkulous.
Redonkulous. Governor Brian Sandoval came out and said, Nevada is announcing to the world, not the country, but the world, that we are ready to lead. A little presumptuous. Musk was in negotiations with Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California, which is where he founded Tesla, before settling in Nevada. Sandoval promised that the tax credits that they will get and other incentives will be available for up to 20 years. Some of those include the following. Sales tax exemptions, which is estimated at $725 million. Payroll and other tax exemptions, estimated at $300 million. The remainder of the $0.3 billion, that extra $300 million, is not accounted for. But the factory is going to be key to Nevada's plan to revitalize its economy. It's, quote, the biggest thing to happen to Nevada since the Hoover Dam. Some provisions, though, for the factory state that half of all the employees must be Nevada residents. Which is, I mean, fair. You know, he's building
it's
a
reasonable.
Factory in
Absolutely.
Nevada. At least half of the employees should be Nevada-based. The factory is projected to provide up to 3,000 construction jobs, a collective 6,500 factory jobs, and 16,000 indirect jobs once completed. So I'm guessing that's like distribution methods or retail-type sales or whatever. I'm not really sure. But the factory is going to be 5 million square feet. Wade, you've been to my work. Our work's first floor is 32,000 square feet. the old motorcycle dealership was 40,000 square feet. So multiply that a few.
Why am I thinking the Boeing factory?
I don't know what the Boeing factory is, but I'm sure it's massive.
Where they build planes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 million square feet to produce batteries. Sounds like Elon's got a bigger business model than purely the car going on. They did say, or Elon and Tesla did say, that the battery manufacturing is going to be key to producing the more affordable cars that they plan to do over the next few years.
Very, very cool.
Like the analyst thinks that he can do no wrong tomorrow, I'm liquidating the company.
No!
but I doubt it.
So, Boeing's Everett factory, just for comparison, is 98 acres.
Okay. I don't know how acres relates to square feet.
Un momento, por favor.
Acres by square feet.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I can't do that. It's copyright.
That's right. 98 acres is 4.2 million square feet. So okay. Everett is still slightly larger.
No, this is going to be 5 million square feet.
Oh, 5 million. Okay, so, sorry, I thought it was 3.
No, 5.
So, yeah, Tesla wins. Tesla factory is going to be bigger than Boeing.
To produce batteries.
Produce batteries.
To produce batteries.
Boeing is making aircrafts. One, the other is making batteries. The one who's making batteries is bigger.
And that's just a lot of batteries. The other useless point of trivia that came out of that is the governor said that this is the biggest thing to happen to Nevada since the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
Or here we go.
Nevada, New Mexico.
Nevada.
New Mexico. Nevada. Okay. Since the Hoover Dam. That means that's the biggest thing to happen to the state in 85 years.
That's correct. Yes.
Hoover Dam was started in 1931.
Yes, but it did open a lot of jobs up for the state, and it's producing power for the state. So there's a lot of long-term results from that. But apparently the Tesla is the next big thing.
Yep. Hey, why not?
Agreed. And speaking of, let's move on.
Let's move on indeed. So something that we've talked about before, the rather sticky topic of net neutrality and the rather complex rules and regulations surrounding it. this concerns the FCC trying to redefine the way that the internet is regulated and controlled and what your ISP can and cannot do. So the comment period is closed for this, and the FCC is deliberating on how they want to handle it. Up until now, they have been talking about how to regulate it under the current terms of the I believe it's the 1996 Telecommunications Act, Section 706 specifically. And while we've covered all that before, the FCC chairman had kind of downplayed Title II of the Communications Act of 1934, and for good reason. First of all, it's 1934. That's, you know, 80 years ago. Yes. They didn't really have regulation framework in place for the internet 80 years ago.
Right? Internet's been around for 30. Sorry.
Yeah, so you're trying to shoehorn regulations that have nothing to do with it to fit, you know, this new technology. But the other part of it is Title II of the 34 Communications Act create some very heavy burdens on the ISPs. There's a lot of regulation involved in this, and it is just a heavy-handed, you know, it becomes like a utility then, you know, with the tight regulations, you know, like your electric companies have to answer to the Department of Energy, and there's, you know, a lot of red tape that goes along with being a Title II ruled carrier. So the ISPs are not keen on this idea.
You don't say.
Yeah. So, up until now, everybody has been debating Section 706, which is the newer Communications Act, the 96 Communications Act. And the ISPs have been getting, you know, their usual lobby groups and trying to bend things in their direction. Well, the news this week is the FCC chairman comes out and says, you know, we've been getting all this stuff from the ISPs, so I've decided Title II is back on the table. We're going to talk about this. And I don't think it's so much seriously considering it as him signaling to all the major communications, you know, the Time Warners and the Cox cables, that, you know what, I've had enough. If you're going to be jerks about this, then we will talk about regulating you the hard way.
Sure. I like it.
You know?
You want to play hardball? We'll play hardball too.
Yeah, sure. Let's bring out the big guns. You don't want to go here.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So, I sincerely hope that they don't end up being Title II regulated, but I can see how this would be an incentive to get them negotiating, you know, hold this over their heads, because this will create an incredible burden on them.
Time will tell, I guess. I mean, obviously we need someone to keep these ISPs in line, because we're the ones that'll suffer for it.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the real answer to this, in my opinion, and that's what this is, it's not Section 706, nor is it Title II. You know, Title II was created in 1934. Internet didn't exist.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Section 706 was created in 1996. Internet existed, but not really, and certainly not as we know it today. So we're trying to regulate this thing under rules that are, you know, now outdated. To me, I think the real answer is Congress needs to come back and deliberate this and create, you know, new rules that fit the communication mediums that we use today. My fear with that, though, is look at how Congress has done lately. You know they're going to mess this up.
Well, they're going to mess it up because the people funding Congress are the ones that we're trying to regulate who don't want to be regulated.
Absolutely.
I love corporate conspiracies and lobbyists. Not really, no.
No, not so much. But, you know, considering all the latest court cases and everything, maybe we just need to rule that the internet is a person and has voting rights.
Oh, there you go.
You know, why not? Companies do. Why shouldn't the internet?
Yeah. Could be interesting.
That I'm cynical or anything.
No, not at all. God. You and me both, my dear friend.
Internet voting. Oh, God, that scared me. Anywho, speaking of something you may need to... Well, you're going to need the internet to play this game. I don't know where I was going with that.
but will the internet let you play
so
that game?
Yeah. That's I'll take failed segues for 600.
Well, how many shots have we had?
Seven.
Well, in terms of this, we did speak about this last week, but Microsoft has announced that they have purchased the company Mojang and its, well, products. Yeah, I think that's the correct word.
Last week it was just rumored.
Yeah, there was talks going on.
There was a lot of buzz floating around the internet, but nothing was substantiated.
Yep, and Microsoft valued Mojang at $2 billion.
2.5.
Yay, shots.
It was purchased at 2.5.
Oh, it was valued at 2 and then sold for 2.5. Here's an extra $500 million to sweeten the pot.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They're Microsoft. So,
let me just count off another couple $100,000 bills.
Yeah. So... in all of this, Notch, the creator of both the company and the hit indie
AKA
game...
AKA Marcus Pearson.
Yes. The hit indie game Minecraft announced that he was leaving the company shortly after, saying that... how are we right here? The sale was not about the money, but more for his personal sanity. And that he wants to go back to small experimental projects.
Yeah, Brad and I went back and forth on this. Was it just yesterday or was it Monday?
No, I think it was last week.
Was it last week? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Essentially, there's an article or a letter that Marcus wrote to kind of the fan base, saying that he was kind of tired of being held responsible for a project he really has no hands on anymore, even though, it's still his by right of ownership. But he's not involved in people making claims or issues with something that it was just too much of a burden for him to deal with. And he never expected Minecraft to become what it is.
Well,
he's tried to make other projects that were big and failed. So he wants to go back to making, I don't want to say necessarily low budget, but low expectation projects.
Smaller projects, yeah.
Experimental stuff. And get back to what he claims he got into it for, which is just the fun of creating and programming. But Brad had a few thoughts in regards to an owner not taking responsibility.
Well, you know, my thing is, I don't think he will ever be able to reclaim what he claims to have lost. Even after the sale, he will always be the creator of Minecraft.
Yep.
And everything that he does from now on, whether it's fair or not, everything he does from now on will be viewed with those colored glasses.
Yeah, it'll be Marcus,
the creator of
Minecraft. It is trying this new game, insert game yeah. name.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, even if he's not responsible or not involved in the day-to-day, it was still his project. It was still his game. It was still his company.
Yep.
So, you know, I guess I can see both sides of it. On one hand, it certainly seems like a, you know, oh, poor me, I'm too successful.
Kind of, but, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I can see how the fans see it that way. The flip side of that, though, I can definitely see how, I mean, look at it. Any internet community attracts its fair share of people that will never be happy. And when you're pouring your life and your soul into a game for fun, and you're getting all these people going, well, it's not good enough, you know. I get that you did your best, but your best is not good enough. You know, that can get old real quick.
There's also the fact that, you know, when people think, oh, I want this to change, they don't. Some, and this is probably going to be most considering the Minecraft fan base, you know, us three are particularly there.
Mm-hmm.
Some may not even go to the Mojang Twitter or Facebook or whatever, but go straight to Notch's, Marcus's. Mm-hmm. Twitter, personal Twitter, Facebook, whatnot. He's gotten to the point where he's like, I'm not even doing anything with this game.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me
about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, the fan base, and I think what we're trying to get at here, is that the fan base forgets that Minecraft is not being worked on by one guy out of his garage.
Yep.
There is a team, there is a company, there's a hierarchy, there's a process. And when it was still in alpha and beta and we could kind of voice our opinions and stuff would get looked at or addressed and change for the better in those topics, that's gone out the window. I mean, for years now, they've been talking about implementing certain systems that have still not even been close to being presented to the fan base.
The mod UI.
The modifying UI, the different topics. I mean, so many people now are playing modified versions of Minecraft because there's more to do, there's more to see. The game is almost being developed by the modders more so than Mojang now.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question with Microsoft taking ownership of this is that, will that change? Are we going to have to pay new subscription fees because there's new ownership? Because once you've bought your basic, you know, account for Minecraft, there's no continued transactions, there's no in-game purchases, there's no, aside from merchandise, what's the consistent revenue stream?
Well, and the one question that I came up with is, way back in the very beginning, I got in during the beta program. One of the things that I remember Marcus saying, and correct me if I misremember here.
You probably will know better than either of us, so we probably won't be able to tell you.
One of the things I remember him saying, though, was, you know, that this was about the community and for the community, and not to worry too much. You know, what he was going to keep developing it, and when he got tired of it, that he would release the source code and make Minecraft owned by the community.
Yeah, we saw how well that worked out.
Well, you know, now I wonder how that's going to play out with Microsoft. Do we ever have a chance to own the code now?
Probably not.
I'm guessing probably not.
Yeah, no.
Now, continuing on, sorry. You had
keep going. Nope, right. Keep going.
No word has been announced of what they are planning, Microsoft are planning to do with the game. However, they did state that they will keep the game running on all platforms that it is currently on. Now, this includes the PlayStation platforms.
That's kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, they put in. People have been thinking, you know, how juicy is it for Microsoft to, when you boot up Minecraft on your PlayStation 3 or 4, the big old Minecraft logo. Splash logo comes on a Sony Entertainment device.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Interesting to see. I mean, we'll see how long that lasts, though. I mean, that may be a provision by Mojang for the deal or something like that by Marcus. But maybe that'll go away in subsequent months.
Well, I hope it doesn't, because I don't run Windows.
I don't either. I'm looking at logic from Microsoft's standpoint than just, you know, being nice guys here.
Sure. I think I read something to state that it does have a lot of future consumer base, because a lot of younger kids play Minecraft and they have already that kind of hold. They're more likely to go into buying, you know, tablets with Minecraft, or not Minecraft, but Microsoft stuff. Smartphones with Microsoft stuff, PCs, which
they're trying the brand recognition, use Minecraft as a segue to Microsoft branding and
yep.
And get their hand into people that way. Interesting mentality. Well, we're going to run a little bit long here tonight, but that's okay. This last topic's kind of fun. NASA, our favorite U.S.-based space exploration group, is looking to, like my long-winded definition there, is looking to no longer rely on Russia in transporting people from the planet to the International Space Station. And in doing so, have awarded both Boeing and SpaceX a collective $6.8 billion contract.
Is that 9, 10?
We're getting there. To produce essentially they're calling them space taxis. Now, I've talked a lot about Elon Musk earlier, and this is no different, as he is the CEO of SpaceX. It was news to me when I read this. Anyway, by the administrator of NASA, this is Charles Bolden, said that this is a fulfillment of a commitment President Obama made to end our reliance on the Russians. The so-called space taxi is expected to reduce reliance on Russia or Russian Soyuz, S-O-Y-U-Z, capsules, which have been the only ride to the International Space Station since the shuttle's program ended 3 years ago. Boeing has designed a 7-passenger spacecraft called the CST-100. It's a capsule-based design where 3 people sit on a top row and 4 people sit directly below them, facing towards essentially the cone of the capsule. And it would ideally fly laterally where people are sitting upright.
They should get an award for name.
The CST-100?
As in most stupid.
As in not valuable at all. SpaceX is currently ferrying cargo to the International Space Station and has been doing so for the past 2 years using what their name, the Dragon capsule. And they're looking to take that design and essentially make a human-carrying version. The agency hopes to start sending the first crew in 2017. So, the race is on. I don't know if both... I mean, they're both contracted to design, I guess. I'm not really sure if it's going to be like, here's the money, build it, and then we'll pick which one we like. I'm not really sure how that's going to work, but we are working on self-reliance to the ISS.
And, you know, this is going to come at... I got to imagine this is going to save money in the long run, because at the moment we are paying Russia, I read today, somewhere in the order of 71 to 72 million, that's with an M, so no shots this time, $71 to $72 million per seat on a Soyuz capsule.
Holy crap.
Jeez. To launch people to the ISS.
I am in the wrong business.
No kidding.
You need to start sending people to the to space.
No, you just need to get the medical equipment in there.
There you go.
I like it.
The only problem I see with that is I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think our antennas have a 300-mile range. We might need to work on that.
Well, get on it, computer man.
Well, I guess local Wi-Fi, we have to, you know, wireless LAN units will have to be deployed. Too bad, so sad.
Yeah, so can I be picked to be the installer that goes and puts the antenna system on the space station?
Yes. I will put you in the running for that.
We will appreciate that.
Because I have clearly absolute say and power in, that standpoint.
You have none.
None at all.
We will then.
You have less than I do.
Yep. We will then put an edited version of Space Odyssey on while you're going.
Major Tong.
Major Bradley.
Major Bradley. Oh,
ground control to Major Bradley. Take your protein pills. Oh, God.
Take your power bars and put your iPad on.
I believe that is a great note to wrap this up. Thank you again for joining us on An Abundance of Not.
That was sober.
Keep on. Yeah.
Take care, and that's a wrap.
See you guys next time.